Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome back to the Neverland Files podcast.
We have a movie review for you today. And Corbin chose this movie, and I was honestly a little shocked. So, Corbin, tell us what we're reviewing and why.
The real reason why, or just the better reason why?
Both.
Okay. So, Wish, we're reviewing Wish. The reason why we're reviewing it is because we were kind of stumped. I was stumped on what we should review.
And then that wasn't my real reason, everyone, just to be clear.
And it was released on Disney Plus the day I was trying to figure that out. And I was like, oh, well, let's watch this because it just came out and I've never seen it before. And so that was the reason why.
Oh, I was thinking that like you were like, oh, well, it's come out. So let's go do it. But I am surprised because you initially were like, I do not want to watch and review that movie right when it came out. And I don't know if that was because you just weren't in the mood, but you were just feeling like you weren't really into it. And so all of a sudden you sprung it on me and I was like, oh my gosh, okay, well, here we go.
Yeah, usually new releases, I guess I like to give a little space for it.
Mm.
And I don't love doing movie reviews, just watching it once, because you know how I am. I have a hard time just comprehending the general story.
Yeah.
I'm a little overwhelmed. I'm just looking at a lot of things, a lot of music. So we're going to see how this goes. After only watching this for the first time very recently, there might be a few questions I ask.
Which is fine.
Of who is this or who was that or what was going on there? And that's okay, right?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Good. All right, so there we go.
So I feel like I'm glad that I gave this movie some space. This was the first time I literally got done watching this movie like 3 hours ago. So I am glad I gave this movie some space because initially when it came out, I was having people tell me, you have to go see this movie. And then I was having a lot of people tell me, do not go see this movie. It's terrible. So I'm glad I kind of removed myself a little bit so that I can like, because I'm still processing it, obviously, but so I can be removed from like the immediate overreactions, good or bad, from everyone. Does that make sense?
Right, of course.
All right, so to start us off, we've got a couple of review from critics to kind of set a tone for what we're going to be looking at today. We have one that is pretty positive, one that's pretty negative, and we're going to see if we agree with these movie critics who apparently get to tell us what is good and what isn't.
They get paid to tell us.
They do. We pay them. We pay them. So we have Bruce R. Miller from the Sioux City Journal. He says, Wish isn't original or at all entertaining. It's what you sit through when you wait for a parade to begin. Needless to say, Bruce was not impressed. But on the other flip side of this, we have Rick Bentley.
Wait, hold on. We need to give him some space, don't we?
Well, I thought we were going to get into it later, so I'm just giving you the...
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Bruce, you have space.
Oh, are we doing space now?
No. I'm just like, okay, we'll let that sit. Bruce feels like this is what you wait. You sit through to wait for the parade to begin. So this is the warm-up act, if you will, to the parade that never showed up.
Well, am I not supposed to talk about this now? I don't even know what I'm doing, right? But to me, I thought it was an interesting concept in terms of parade because when you're sitting waiting for the parade, you're watching cars drive by and people walk by, not because it was intentional of we're setting the stage for the parade of like, yes, let's get excited. Like a comedian, they have some random person come out.
Or like a concert.
And they get you warmed up.
Yeah.
The parade, you're just sitting there and there's nothing else to look at. And so you're just looking at it. And so I liked that analogy of we're watching something that...
There's like nothing better to do, so we might as well watch this.
We're hoping for the best, right? Because
parade will come.
Yes, but it never came. So we're just kind of sitting there watching life happen in front of us, which isn't necessarily entertaining. So anyways, I just thought that was an interesting concept I wanted to...
Okay, so we will keep diving into the parade thing. We'll keep referencing it. But we have Rick Bentley from KGET-TV from California. He says, despite the weak soundtrack, Wish works because of its strong continuation of the Disney mantra, a warm animation style and a very fun wink and a nod to so many past Disney productions. So Rick's opinion is the soundtrack isn't necessarily good, but it works because it feels like Disney and it continues that same narrative or themes that other Disney movies have done. So he's giving it a thumbs up despite its lack of good soundtrack. All right.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So we've got our stage set. We're going to look at if we agree, if we're leaning more with Bruce, who's waiting for the parade. He's still sitting there waiting. Or with Rick, who's like, you know what? It feels like Disney. It did its job. It wasn't perfect. So Corbin, let's start off with least and most. We're going to talk about two characters in each category that we feel like are the most important and the least important to the story of Wish. So Corbin, let's start on the positive note here. Who is your first character that feels most important to you?
For this particular story, I mean, Asha, I think that's the obvious one. She's the main person.
Did you actually pick her? Just yes. To be clear?
Yes.
Okay. Because sometimes you're like, this is obvious, but I'm not going to pick her. So I was just clarifying.
Well, you know, a little twist and turns every once in a while is okay, right? No, but I mean, it's her story. 17-year-old girl wishes upon a star, initiates the whole issue and problem, causes change, starts questioning things that are happening within their city, town, whatever you want to call it, country, island, whatever. So, you certainly have to follow her along. So, yes, they did a good job of making her the main character, and it's believable.
You know what she wants.
Right. You know what she wants in terms of her parents, well, her grandpa and her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So she's important.
She's important. She
There's
keeps
hesitation.
Things moving along.
Why the hesitation?
The thought I had as I was thinking more about this and I was watching some more songs to remind myself what the songs were. I was watching on YouTube.
Yeah.
Is they showed a brief image of her and her dad.
Sitting on the tree.
Sitting on the tree looking up at the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they spend a lot of time building up the story from the king's perspective, but from her perspective, you just kind of got thrown into the middle of it. Mm. And I didn't really connect. Whenever I saw her dad, I was like, oh, she had a dad, period. Like, not, oh, that's heartbreaking, or what happened to him, or this is the tragedy that happened. It just was like, she had a dad, period.
Yeah, and
a
he's
statement.
Not there anymore.
And so the emotional connection to her, it felt like they were trying to pull it out,
but it
didn't get there. And so, I just like, there's this theme of just disconnect emotionally from her and her trauma and struggle and hopes and dreams that I didn't quite get to personally, but she's still important as far as
the actual
getting
story.
Directions to the destination.
Yeah.
She is the one, she's the vehicle that is getting you to the destination.
Okay. Okay. I gotcha. I also have Asha on my list because like you said, she's initiating everything.
Right.
Like she's the one that starts to have the questions and wishes for the star and then starts to enact change with the help of Star. I'm kind of a little on the fence based on what you're saying, because I feel like this, she's not one of those characters for me that's like a Rapunzel or a Belle that's like blown away. I adore them personally, but she's also, I feel like she's more memorable and she was more, I connected her with her more than like a Raya. And the only thing I can pinpoint that with is the music. Like if you have a character sing a song, I'm more likely to like get them emotionally. But I do understand what you're saying. There is, you do feel like you kind of didn't get as much backstory into her and her dad. You know, you get the feeling he's important. He's obviously not there anymore, so he must have died. But beyond that, you're kind of like, oh, like what else was going on there? But I was able to still get there with her emotionally, just not as deeply as I could have if they had fleshed that out a little more. And they had time to do that. I mean, it was under 2 hours, so maybe we'll have to like kind of talk through if they were to add things, what would have added more to this story? And you would like more about her.
Not necessarily more, but here's another thought I had. Mirabelle from Encanto, I connect more with her and her situation of just not fitting in with the family.
Yeah.
Asha, I don't know what I'm supposed to connect with.
Is it because there was just nothing in her personal life that felt familiar to you? Is that where we're lacking connection?
What is the point of the story, I guess? And I don't mean to bring this up right at the beginning here, but I'm kind of, again, I just barely watched the film. It takes time for me to figure things out.
Yeah.
So people might be like,
palm to the face, right?
But she is concerned about the wishes for her grandpa.
Yeah.
But to me, that's still not, I just don't care. Like, I don't care about wishing and hoping and like that kind of mindset. Maybe for some people is really strong and they're just like, that would be so heartbreaking to have my wishes taken away from me, or my hopes and desires and dreams taken away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's just kind of like, meh, like, you know, sometimes you move on with life and you have different ideas and different things that come up and you don't get to live out your dreams or whatever. I don't know. I guess I'm confused. So I need some help here.
I love that you're looking at me for all the answers. I'm still processing this too, but the more, and I think initially I was kind of thinking the same thing you were. I was like, especially when you find out what her grandpa's dream is and he's just like playing his guitar and you're like, really? That's it? But then, and like some of the wishes, there's like people that are like flying on rocket ships to space and stuff. And you're like, they just kind of seem juvenile. You know what I mean? It's like you're an eight. I was sitting there and I was like, at 18, like what the heck would I have wished for? It wouldn't have been anything I would have wished for now. But the more I kind of watched it and saw the effect of the people not having their wishes with them, it's almost more like their inner essence or child is like taken away from them. Like they're just kind of lifeless and droopy and kind of like, I don't want to beat up on realists, but they're real. Like they're really pessimistic about life. So I don't know if it's necessarily wishes or dreams as much as it is that like ability for them to hope in something better than where they currently are is kind of like taken from them. Cause like her friend Simon, he's just so sad and he's just like,
but not everybody's sad. Cause remember whenever the, what do they call it? The wish moment happens. The king, everyone comes together and they give a wish to somebody.
Yeah.
They're all very excited about the anticipation of who's going to get it and stuff like that.
Yeah. And
there's a couple of characters, like the one specifically, the equivalent of Grumpy.
Yeah.
He was really cynical like that. Like, and that was very, there was a very specific contrast there between him and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see that everybody as being cynical. There were a few that were kind of sad and down in the dumps, but I think a lot of people were just kind of going through the motions a little bit.
Yeah, which I would say is a type of sadness, a numbness. Maybe that's a better word.
Yeah, numbness.
Everybody
maybe
just was like really, and then they get really excited because they're like, oh my gosh, thank goodness, like maybe this is my time to like,
right,
I get to have that hope back, or I get to remember what it was that I was so excited about, because right, I can't even remember it.
So, big picture.
Yeah.
And again, I'm trying to process this, so I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit with our life lesson. So I'm just trying to figure this out a little bit.
Okay.
I'm not going to go right into the life, but I want to. So big picture, what is this a commentary on? What is this movie trying to help us understand about our lives?
Mm-hmm.
That we should not, yeah, just go through the regular routine and just kind of go to work, go home, take care of family, grow up, grow old, and not live our dreams and our goals and hopes and wishes.
Well, so what the one critic said, let's go back to what he said, the one who liked the movie,
right,
he said that he felt like it works because it's a strong continuation of the Disney mantra. So the goal of this movie was to celebrate 100
years
of Disney animation,
right?
So they really, if you watch all of the cool making of stuff on Disney Plus, they really were trying to be like, okay, what is the essence of Disney,
right?
And how can we explore that and kind of make up a new fairy tale to kind of capture what that essence is? So I guess that comes down to a conversation of like, well, what is it?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask you. What is the essence?
What is
the
essence? For me, I feel like it was interesting because in the making of, they talk to like a lot of the creative team, the directors and like the concept designers and stuff. And there's an 8-minute clip where they sit and they talk about like, what does Disney mean to you? And they get to have an opportunity to kind of explain, like, I was 3 years old when I watched Dumbo for the first time. And kind of this idea of, like, what does your Disney journey look like? And it's interesting because I feel like a similar thread, not through all of them, but through a lot of them, is just this idea of, like, Disney helps me believe and think that there is hope, that things can get better, even if it's hard. And that seems to be something that, like, really touches people about the Disney fabric.
Right.
And I think this story fits into that, this idea that keep wishing and keep hoping because there are good things. Life gets better. You don't have to just believe in the bad stuff. Like, let life be good and be hopeful and don't just like sit in the realism of it.
Don't hand away your wishes to just conform.
Well, I think a lot of like the wish handing over thing is this idea of like, I'm going to give somebody else control over it because it's too much work or it's too disappointing to have to keep being disappointed by life.
It's like, risky.
It's risky to hope for things. You're putting yourself out there. And so if I just give it to somebody else, I don't have to worry about it anymore. I don't have to feel the
disappointment. It's a small sacrifice to live in a place that's safe.
They feel, yeah.
And comfortable.
But if you're in charge of it yourself, yes, you may feel disappointed, but you also get to feel that joy and that elation and that hope of like, oh my gosh, things are changing. Things are what I hope that they will be.
Okay.
But you'll never figure that out if you don't control it yourself, I guess.
And I, so Asha.
Yes.
Is the instigator of this correction.
Yes. And so I would say obviously she's important, but I'm curious about who your second person is.
Well, who's your person?
I did not pick the villain to be my second most important. I actually picked her grandpa. Because I don't feel like Asha would have ever started this journey if there wasn't somebody else that she was worried about. She kind of strikes me as a Hufflepuff in that way. She needed motivation outside of herself, someone that she was concerned about to get her to go and start questioning stuff. For her, I think she would have just gone through the motions and turned 18 and like given her wish to Magnifico and just kind of went along with it. But there was something in somebody's life that she loved that she was concerned about. And that's kind of what ends up motivating her to go do something.
Right.
So I said the grandpa is the second most important. I think his name is Sabino.
Sabino, right.
Yeah. Yeah. What say ye, sir? My mouth's all dry. That means I've been talking too much.
No, that's good. It's good because I'm trying to unpack this. I would actually put Sabino in my least important.
Okay.
And the reason why is because I felt like it was a huge miss.
Okay.
I'm trying to compare it to these recent Disney movies, and that's not fair to this movie, perhaps.
I know, it's hard.
So I'm comparing Asha to Mirabelle, and there's a gap there in terms of like my emotional connection to Asha.
Yes.
With Sabino, the disconnect and who I'm going to compare it to is Coco.
Oh, yeah.
Coco looks 100 years old. Sabino did not look 100
okay,
years
so
old.
Okay, so is your main problem with him then his physical appearance?
His physical appearance.
Okay. Give me something deeper than physical appearance. Take me a level deeper. What's your issue with him?
His personality, his everything about him is not 100 years old. So I guess, and the way I thought in my head was, maybe they live in a place that's magical where people don't age as quickly.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Okay, so then
which maybe we should give away all of our wishes if we don't age as fast. Maybe the hope is what ages us
faster. You know what? Like you said, hope takes its risk. So there may be anxiety or fear that comes with it.
Right. So that was like my direct connection, just of like, I don't believe that this guy's 100 years old. And second of all, the guitar thing and how King Magnifico was like, if he has his wish, he will be a threat to the kingdom because he will inspire others.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, okay. I mean, I know he's paranoid and I think that's what they were trying to highlight.
Yeah, he's a narcissist. He's a little like out to lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't, with Asha being so adamant about her grandpa getting the wish, I was just kind of like, because she saw the wish. She saw him playing his guitar and that was so important to her, which is interesting and good. But I did not connect emotionally in the way of I am going to tear down this kingdom to give my grandpa his one wish.
Yeah.
And that is why as well with a Mirabelle, I felt like it was, I think there's, maybe this is being cynical, but I think these types of characters, these main characters, there's still a selfishness. Like there's still something about you that I want to get something out of this. Like I'm trying to learn about myself. With her, she was so removed from that. It was all about her grandpa and her mom that to me, it didn't seem as believable. And so they were trying to make this connection of grandpa needs his wish. And this Asha girl is so like, she'll do anything for anybody, which I believe. But I was like, what is it for Asha? And I never got to that point. Besides the fact that I feel good because I gave someone
something. So really, Sabino's whole thing comes down to Asha. Like your disconnect was their relationship. So she's an aspect of you're not getting on board with him completely.
Right.
Okay.
And again, he didn't play his role strong enough to feel like... Like, for example, I'll give you an example. So what if Sabino, in the story, had... like if there was like some type of physical injury or something where his life was really hard, right?
Yeah.
He just was kind of living his life, just kind of like, things are good. I hope that I get my wish or whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm turning 100 years old. But there wasn't anything like specifically. It was just, he's old. Let's give him his wish. And I just was like, that's not enough for me to like really like be on board with.
Were you disappointed when he didn't get his wish? When he's like, the guy's like, somebody's been waiting a really long time.
Well, I mean, it was kind of, you know, he had already, there was a little bit of foreshadowing before this where the king was like,
but did, like his reaction to it.
Well, it wasn't even just his reaction when he didn't get it. It was afterwards when she presented him with his wish and he was like, I don't want it.
Oh, yeah.
It was scary to him,
because he
right?
knew it wasn't going to come true. So why would I have to, I don't want to have to hold the disappointment and the hope at the same time.
Right. Mm-hmm. So again, it just kind
of. I have a question. Did you watch all the way through the end of the credits? Did you see the bonus scene at the end?
No, I don't think so.
I this isn't going to change you at all, but
it shouldn't, because the movie should.
No,
like,
no, it
be
should.
Nice
it won't.
And
but
tidy.
It was like, oh my gosh, that is so sweet. So his wish is the guitar, but it's also he wanted to do something that would inspire generations.
Right.
And so that's where Magnifico was like, that could be really dangerous. Which, yes. In a very like cynical, yes, it could potentially, but it's essentially it's just the Sabino sitting on a little log by the lake, and he's just playing his guitar by himself, and he's just kind of plucking around, figuring out like what notes he wants to play, and all of a sudden he starts playing the When You Wish Upon a Star song,
right?
And then he like keeps playing it over and over again, and kind of like laughs to himself, and you're like, that's the song.
Yeah.
Oh, it was, anyways, just a teeny little moment. It's not supposed to change anything, but I was like okay, that's like a cute dream or whatever, but then like you see like what it ends up being and you're like, oh my goodness, I take it back, sir. You had more in you than I thought you did.
You know, this is me being superficial, and you tried to help me to like not be as superficial. I just don't believe he's 100 years old, like, and I know that's maybe lame, but I just look at him, I'm like, he's probably in his 50s, maybe his early 60s. He's still got time to live his wish. I don't believe that this is like 100 years old. This is the end. And
okay. Okay. So
wish.
we've come up to a point where the facts of the matter are not lining up for you, and we're just not going to get past that. So let's move into.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to say about it. So
no, that's why I'm saying let's move on. Let's move on to who your second most important character was, because I said Sabino and you said he was least important for you. So who is your second most important?
So we talk a lot about character arc in movies and how those are important with characters.
Yeah.
Which I didn't see a lot of it with Asha. It was just kind of like she's up here elevated above everybody else, and it was right all along, so it was kind of like, okay, that wasn't her much.
Yeah, it was more like she was pushing up against people who were telling her
yeah.
that she was wrong.
She's a victim of the world, which drives me crazy.
Well, I mean,
because that's a theme right now in our world, is everyone's like, I'm a victim of the world that I live in, and like there's a culture of when things are hard, someone wronged me.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what she was personified by, is like she was a victim of everything else around
well,
her.
Well, I think there was a teeny character arc in the sense of, I mean, and it was very brief and it happened quickly, but she was going from a place of, I trust my world, I like my world, I believe in my world, to, wait a minute, I don't believe in this. So there was a little bit of
like
change.
Like becoming the apprentice, then realizing this is wrong, and then he directly being like, I hate
yeah,
you.
Yeah, so there was some
that
change
went
that happened.
Really fast.
So anyways, tell me about the...
Okay, so the other person that I thought, and again, this is lame, it's not the most important, but just as far as character arc, the person that I kind of enjoyed, excuse me, I shouldn't say it that way, was the Gabo, who is the cynical one, because I can relate to somebody that's very cynical, and then he had to change in order to be like an ally to Asha.
Okay.
And so there was change happening, right?
Yeah.
I think you hit it when you said that the change happened very quickly. It
yeah.
seemed like there was a lot of change happening really quickly with all the characters.
It did feel a little rushed.
The queen flipped like totally. Like
yeah.
all of a sudden she was singing along with the teens and against her husband. Asha all of a sudden flipped from wanting to be the apprentice to like the king is a bad guy, which was pretty obvious. Simon, like he was kind of like on the fence a little bit, and then all of a sudden he's a bad guy. And now he's back to being a good guy. Like it was just the characters were just like the changes were happening so fast that you didn't connect with them emotionally, and you didn't go on the journey with them. And you just need, I guess I was just hoping, I was looking for somebody that I could hold on to and be like, I am going on this journey with them. And it was just, everything was just like, we were flipping the page and we're like, oh, they're a different person now. Maybe that's what I'm getting at. So I think to that point, Gabo, there was a little bit of change in terms of his cynicism and then still being loyal as a friend.
Yeah.
Again, I know it's not a great answer because he's not the most important. Certainly, there's a lot of other teams that could have kept the story going along, but that's just where I'm trying to figure this out as I think about it and talk
about it. Yeah. No, that's a good point. There was a lot happening really quickly. I will say, Simon, I pegged that pretty quick. I was like, as soon as the bad guy was like, somebody turn her in, I was like, that's definitely going to be Simon. Because you have somebody who is in her friend group, who knows what the plan is, but also who has already given his wish up and is dealing with the numbness that comes with that. So you have a friend who knows what's going on, but who also has his own desperation going on. So I had Simon kind of pegged.
If they would have not even, if King Magnifico would have said the, what did, I don't remember what to call her, how was he referring to Asha? The traitor.
Yeah.
If he had just said the traitor was revealed.
Yeah.
And not associated with like name and gave us like the connection.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have been surprised. Like, I literally during the movie was like, I don't even know if we're gonna find out who the traitor was, because that's how like jumpy things were at times.
Mm.
And so when they did say it was Simon, I was like, oh, at least they put a name to it and like they put a person to it.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like, oh, I know it's Simon that was the traitor. I'm just like, at this point, I'm just kind of getting tugged around all over the place to where they don't even have to explain it.
See, okay, so this is interesting because I feel like we're having a different reaction to this movie, and I feel like our reactions are. Reflecting what the reviews are, because it's a 50% Rotten Tomatoes approval rating.
Right.
So I think I agree with you. Like, it felt fast to me, but I was able to follow more of it, or I was willing to give it a little more leeway and be like, I can insinuate enough for myself. I don't need to see it. But now that you're saying it, I'm realizing, oh yeah, like that was really fast. I think there are some cases where they probably did need to slow it up a little bit. With some of the side characters, you can speed that up. Like the Simon thing, that's, I feel like you can keep that pace the same. But if we're not connecting with our main character, then maybe spend some more time there.
And my other issue that I have personally is I think they tried to bridge those gaps in terms of character change in the songs.
Mm-hmm. I think so too, yeah.
There's a lot of lyrical, like...
Yeah. There was a lot of heavy lifting with the music.
Yeah. And again, that's what's hard for me as well, is I'm not following the songs very clearly. And so I just see it as like a cute sound when in mm-hmm. reality they're telling a story and showing
how
the person's
point.
Changing. So that is, again, on me.
Yeah. Then that's a good point. I think that's why a lot of people don't like Broadway musicals and prefer like theater, because they're like, I don't want to have like pay attention to the music in that way.
Right.
I want to be able to just like just act it out to me. Just tell me what's going on. You don't need to sing about it, because then it muddles things for people.
This is why Hamilton was a complete mess
for
me. Oh,
that breaks my heart.
No, but I think that's, it's just a difference in...
If music isn't your language, then musicals are not for you.
I can't consume it. It's like I'm going to have an allergic reaction when I'm listening to something and to a song and having to take this message and apply it to the story in front of me, mm-hmm. right? So anyways.
And the stuff like Hamilton, like musicals get really... Like, if you want to, like, start digging into them, like, something like Hamilton, like, there's so much meat there to unpack with just the music and, right. like, the genres of music that are playing and, like, the choices. So, yeah, music can be really off-putting. The nice thing about Disney is it tends to make musicals approachable. You love right. Lion King, and Lion King is a musical. The characters sing.
You know what helps me with those older movies is nostalgia. As a kid,
you've watched it over and over and over
as
again.
As a kid, it just washes over you and you're just like, this exciting parts. And then as I get older, I'm actually starting to connect meaning.
Mm.
So it's like there's like depth there. So maybe in 10 years, I'll go back and watch Wish.
Maybe.
And I don't know if I will, because...
You're having such an awful reaction to it now, you may not want to go back to it.
Well, and also just the storytelling... When I'm having to ask so many questions to understand the basic premise of the movie, I'm a simpleton in many cases.
Yeah.
That's when there's a hang up there and I'm just like, it's not approachable for me. So, so you're
my
least important.
I have one least important character. It was Valentino, her goat. And here's the deal. I'm saying that from a position of an adult, and I will completely acknowledge that, because I watched part of this movie with my niece and nephew, and she loves the goat. Like, it was making them both giggle. They're both under the age of like 10. So for them, I mean, it's a kid's movie, so it's like, that's okay. You can have Valentino for them. For me as an adult, he was least important. Star was so cute and charming that, and like cute and charming and funny that in a way that felt very Disney. It didn't feel gaggy or gimmicky.
Right.
That I felt like I didn't need goat, didn't need the Valentino.
Right.
But it's a kid's movie, so I'm willing to give them a pass. But for me, it wasn't for me.
He was the least important as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you just removed removed him completely,
it would have been the same.
It would have changed nothing.
Yeah.
Right. So you didn't say Star was your most important, though.
I didn't. He was my third.
Okay.
I was like, oh, how can I not have Star on there? But I feel like Asha's relationship with her grandpa, that you made a good point. We do need to flesh that out more. But for me, Asha's motivation is tied in with her grandpa.
He was
the most important.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I did like Star, by the way.
Oh, Star.
And it's one of those things, as me being the grumpy man, when I'm struggling with the movie.
Because at this point, Star comes in, you already had so many question marks.
Furrowed brow.
Just like, I am turning
and
off.
And then I see everything as a gimmick. It's like, oh, yeah, they're trying to win me back. Right? They're trying to win me back with the Star.
Corbin.
But yes, the Star was quite charming and delightful, and just the mannerisms. And
the cute little mustache.
It was very Disney.
Yes, it did. And that Star, like, in a way, like, gave me hope in the sense of, like, I was kind of getting to the point with, like, animated movies where I was like, what is Disney? Like, what stands them apart? Because we're having a struggle here. Where is, like, the balance of, like, charm and humor and subtlety? And I watched Star and I was like, there it is. That's it. It's not anything that's, like, in your face, loud, flatulence, burping, like, let's just like have people rolling in the aisles. It was very subtle, it was very charming, and it was very sweet, and there was like an emotional connection. So anyways, I was like, oh, I'm so glad that I saw Star. I was like, see, it's possible, we can do this.
I think Valentino got in the way. Wouldn't have been okay, again, me thinking I'm better at writing stories than these people, but I think there was a missed opportunity to have Asha and the Star just like a quiet, still, it's risky because this is a kid's movie.
Yeah.
But a moment of like them just like kind of connecting really closely.
Yeah.
So that when Star was in trouble.
Yeah.
Again, I was kind of like, oh, like that's sad. But I wasn't like, no, not Star. Because they just didn't get there with the characters.
I'm wondering if.
Did you feel the same way? Or
no, I didn't. And I'm honestly wondering if, like you said, and you acknowledge this, by the time that Star came, you had so many other things blocked. Like, you had so many other walls up that it was hard to get the full.
Right.
I think that Star may be the one thing of this movie that if you were to go back and watch it later, especially if you're with kids, you would be like, okay, there was something.
Right.
And even if you're not like, oh, Asha and Star, like they have this bond that's unbreakable, you will still be like, you know what? I care about Star and I don't want
I'm
going to
change my
happen.
Pick. Star is most important, much more important than Gabo. So there you go.
Okay.
Thank you for letting me change.
That's fine. Yeah. No changing. That's why, like we said, we haven't ever watched this movie before. So we got to have leeway to like work through some stuff. Like when we've watched the movie 65 times, we know where we stand.
Right.
But when I literally watched it hours ago,
yes,
it's going to take me a minute.
Yep.
All right, Corbin. Now that we know where you are with the characters, Life Lessons is going to be really interesting because your processing of this movie is giving me the sense that you didn't like it. So I'm curious to see if you're going to go sarcastic with your life lessons or if you're feeling like there was maybe a smidgen of a genuine life lesson. So.
Genuine.
I have three. So do you want to go first?
I will do a life lesson.
Okay.
I was careful with this movie to not look into reviews beforehand because I didn't want to taint my perception.
I think that was wise.
I did know that it wasn't received as well as other and wasn't like an immediate Disney classic.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But I was really trying hard to just give it space to do its thing
just to you.
Just for me, right?
Blank slate.
And then as I started watching, I started noticing things, even like subconsciously, that I actually read about later, that I was like, oh, that was the problem.
Oh.
And I think the life lesson I got from Wish is do more with less.
Okay.
And I think there was a lot of, they really tried hard to make it about 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
The Snow White references,
mm-hmm.
the dwarves, the teens, like the connections of Dopey and Sleepy and Sneezy and all these things.
Yeah.
And like subconsciously, when the guy kept like sneezing, I didn't think Sneezy,
mm-hmm.
but I was like, this is annoying. Like, I'm tired of him rubbing his nose constantly. And then when I read about it, I was like, oh, that makes sense. And I still don't like it. Does that make, I don't know if that makes sense or not.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing at you because you just sound like you were in such pain watching this movie. Like everything was just setting you off.
I think there was too much noise. There was too much that they were trying to like, they were trying so hard to make this 100 years of Disney.
It felt like too much effort.
And they were trying to come at it from a lot of different ways and infuse these little Easter eggs and stuff like that. And I didn't even realize it, but I just was like, there's so much going on here. That I'm not enjoying this. I will say this. I would not say this is a bad movie. It's not like visually, like it's good. Like it's fine.
Yeah.
But it's not, in my opinion, Disney. And then you put on top of that, the way that they talked about it in terms of creation of this is like going to be our introduction to the next 100 years. It's, you're just like, wow, you just keep falling down the ladder, right? Because you're a solid movie, but with how much effort and like, it's just like, it's sometimes you just have to step back and say, let's simplify and just tell a good old fashioned Disney story and deal with it.
Okay. That was a lot to unpack.
Sorry.
No. I agree with you to an extent.
That lesson.
I agree with you to an extent, but I think it's also interesting. Cause again, like I think this is just like that. You're like a 50-50 split. Cause I'm thinking of when The Rise of Skywalker came out, there was half of the people who were like, this is so stupid. It's just like, they're just like baiting us all with this, like they're trying to manipulate me into liking it by putting all these references in. And then there were people that were like, oh my gosh, that felt like Star Wars. I loved it. I loved the nostalgia of it. And I think we're in very separate camps. I loved the nostalgia. You felt like, quit hitting me over the head with the old stuff. And so I think it's the same thing with this movie, where half of us feel like, stop giving me, trying to bait me into liking what you're doing by giving me references to old stuff. And half of us are like, oh my gosh, this feels nostalgic. I really like this. So for me, I felt like, I agree with you with the dwarves. I wasn't annoyed by them and they weren't distracting for me, but I feel like if there were too many cooks in the kitchen, that was a place they could have cut back to offer more time to really dive into your main character, right? There were other subtle references though that I adored. So like, I loved seeing the book open at the beginning. That was like, so I was like, oh my gosh, there you go. There's the book. Or even the font of the credits was like, it was the font from the Snow White. Really, really subtle stuff that felt very familiar and you almost don't even realize it. I agree though. I think the dwarves was a little heavy handed. So.
And I think you make a good point there. What if it would have just been Asha by herself?
With Star. Yeah.
Because you're like, if Asha doesn't figure it out, there's a bunch of other teens that are kind of gonna figure it out. Yeah, I don't know. So anyways. So
or even like Asha, Star, and Simon, because Simon adds an interesting foil where she has a friend where another person in her life who's given the wish up, and so there's contrast there for her to be able to see, oh, there's somebody, like something's off. I knew him before, and now I know him, and something's changed in him.
Right.
But yeah, I too many cooks in the kitchen maybe with our side characters.
Yep.
Okay, my life lesson number one. I will start with a fun one because I don't think you're going to appreciate my other two, but that's okay.
Okay.
Fairy godmother outfits can be chic is my life lesson number one. So her cape with the pink bow and the purple cape, I was sitting there looking at her and I was like, that looks so familiar.
I didn't even notice that.
And then I realized and I watched the bonus features and they're like, yeah, it's totally in homage to the fairy godmother. And I was like, they made that so cute because the Cinderella fairy godmother, I mean, she's very charming, but she's also, you know, you're like, she's a cute old woman with her cape on. But Asha made it look good. I was like, I buy that. That's
when she was sneaking in.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
She had her cape and I was like, oh my gosh, it looks good.
This is probably my other problem as well, is I missed a lot of the references. And so the ones I did get, I was like, oh, how obvious. And then the other ones, they were way over my head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So maybe the ones that were super obvious, you were like, blech. But then there's subtle ones. So anyways, that's my silly life lesson.
That was good. I liked that.
Do you have any other ones, or do I just need to dive into my...
Well, this is my other one. Life lesson, inside jokes are not fun if you're on the outside.
I think everyone... if you've been through middle school, you all know that life lesson to be true.
Well, this is something that I lived when I got married, and you enter into this family.
Oh, yep.
That has lots of inside jokes.
And you're like, ha, 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 ha.
And you finally get one, and you're like, I got that one. I totally got that one.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone's looking at you like, are you kidding me? Like,
of course. Hello. Get it.
They've been throwing 20 of them out.
Yeah.
Like, and you're just totally missing all of them.
One for 20.
Yeah. Right. One for 20. You finally get one. You're so excited about it. And then you realize you've been missing all of them. And so you start feeling very self-conscious. And this movie, I think what I'm realizing is I think I was missing a lot of the inside jokes.
Oh, okay.
And so now I'm even feeling more vulnerable. And so I want to fight back. I'm going to fight
no,
this.
No, don't fight it.
I'm
going to
destroy. No, I'm just teasing.
There's no.
I'm not going to destroy this, but it just. I think maybe there's some of the charm I missed out on, as you're pointing out with the cape.
I mean, some of it is very, like, I was watching the bonus features. I did get the cape, but there was some of, like, the architecture that they did with, like, the town and stuff, and some of the decisions they... for me, I don't feel threatened by it, though. Like, I find it really exciting to, like, I want to know the secrets. And then when I find out, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's really cool. Like, I love being able to, like, dive into, like, what thought did they put into this? And then you're like, oh, wow, that's cool. But sometimes that can be hard.
I'm just hard to please in that way. I'm like, don't be too obvious, but be so I can, but I want to know what it was. Just... Can you do it perfectly?
They're just like, Okay.
All right, we're just going to discard this guy. Anybody else have opinions?
There's no pleasing him.
Oh, like the old lady in Pollyanna that sits on her bed.
Oh my gosh, that's totally you. Not all the time, just sometimes when you're not, like you said.
Reviewing movies that I didn't love.
When you're not in the know, right. And you're just kind of like,
my back hurts.
Like, okay. Is that your last life lesson?
Yes, that is my life lesson. Okay. I'm really starting to rethink my life now. So this was got me right in the middle of
it's not a good movie review unless Corbin's rethinking his life. And yeah. I have a mental breakdown trying to rank the movie. So if you've been around a while, you know how we do this.
Okay, so you're supposed to have these are
I have one
controversial takes, is that what you're saying?
No. I just think one serious life lesson that you won't agree with, and that's okay. Agree with in the sense of, like, you were like, what the heck is the message of the movie?
Right.
I just loved, I will admit, like, we've had a rough week in, like, our family and community, and I just loved that there was something that Walt Disney Animation created that felt like hope. And it was like, you know what? Life's gonna stink, but it's worth the stinkiness to be able to also experience the good stuff. And it's almost like if you take away that opportunity to feel the dreams and the wishes and what magic and life could be, if you kind of let go of that because it's risky, then you're kind of left with numbness where you don't get to experience any of it. And so just this idea of, like, you know what? Having that in your own control where you get to experience and choose whether you want to have joy or experience sorrow, like, that means you get to experience all of it. So it's a wonderful thing, I guess, is what I was feeling. And I will admit, like, that wasn't a message that I felt like was hitting me over the head. So there was, like, I was sitting there and I was like, okay, like, where are we going with this? And then by the end of the movie, I was like, yeah, like, for me, that's what this is. It's like, yes, we get to experience bad stuff, but we also get to experience joy.
When Asha's mom's dream or wish was destroyed, she felt grief.
Yeah.
And when she said that, I was like, okay, I think that was important. I don't know why. And so what you just explained, I think, is good and helpful, because I saw that and I was like, I think that was an important moment, but yeah. I wasn't sure what it was trying to accomplish. I wasn't connecting the dots very well.
Yeah.
So what they're saying is the wish, the hope, the dreams are important and worth taking risk and experiencing grief and pain and struggle. The hope and wish and dreams are what keep you going, kind of a thing.
Yeah, and also, like, if you're not going to risk the opportunity to feel happiness, then you get to feel nothing.
Like, which we do a lot of in our family.
What do you mean?
I think our family, we do that. Where we are so risk averse.
Oh, yeah.
That, and we just kind of...
We keep ourselves in our comfort zone, which means we keep ourselves from experiencing a lot of stuff.
We play in this little sandbox, right? And we're just like, nope, this is what where we belong, and we just don't want to rock the boat. And
yeah, and if I don't feel any intense emotions, good or bad, in a day, then we'll call it good.
Right. It was a solid day. Yeah. It was just keep cruising along, just keep plugging along. And I've been talking to like a therapist that's like, that's not
healthy. Yeah.
And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So. This is good. Wish might become my rally cry.
This is my rally cry. I think I started to figure that out for myself when I was starting to recognize that like I would have like steady days, quote unquote, but then like I would have days where that steadiness turned into numbness. And I was like, oh, I'm not feeling anything. And I was like, you know what? I prefer to feel something, even if it's like anger or sadness or like joy and elation. Like I want to be able to feel something, because feeling nothing, I'm just like, I don't care. Like, why am I even existing? You know what I mean? So yeah, so I agree. Like, we are in our family, we like to like try and keep ourselves in our comfort zones, but I know I'm a lot happier when I'm outside my comfort zone. It's the worst.
I know. Like, I just
stop enjoying this self.
You're saying this right now and I'm like, I might leave the room right now. You're making me very uncomfortable.
I mean,
but it's true. And the reason why I'm uncomfortable is because it's true.
Yeah.
And when you said I'm at my happiest when I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Like.
Or my healthiest, I guess you would say.
Yeah, I'm at my healthiest when I'm feeling. I am like, oh boy. Like, there's some things that happened recently that are good opportunities, but all I see is risk and time and sacrifice. And I'm like, and I'm focusing so much on, oh my gosh, like the responsibility.
The heavy stuff. Yeah.
And then every once in a while, kind of glimmer of like, what if it went really well?
What if it was a good thing?
What if like a few years from now, and then I'm like, but I won't see that because I'll be in the nitty gritty in the daily routine and I'll just have the suffering and struggle. So this is good. This is really good. So wish has prompted an interesting discussion here. And again, I did not get it because I think I was just so closed off with my emotions of like, I don't want to go there. That's weird. So this has been helpful. Thank you.
No, this is good. And if nothing else, I appreciate movies for this reason, because they offer a venue for us to kind of look at life in a removed way and be like, no, like, let's process through this or let's talk about this. Because when it's your life you're talking about, it's a very vulnerable thing. But if we're talking about these concepts through the eyes of like Asha or Sabino or Magnifico, it's more approachable. And you're like, oh yeah, we can talk about hope and the risk of taking chances.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyways. All right, guys, the therapy session. It's over.
Hopefully it was helpful for somebody, except for besides myself.
I will say this about Magnifico. I feel like we haven't talked about him much. I was really intrigued by this idea of a villain who is obsessed with control as a means of protecting. Because that is, holy smokes. I mean, I'm not a parent, but as I watch parents around me and I get it, because I like have that love for kids in my life.
Here comes Carrie's judgment. Here we
go.
Like, all
right, you're ahead. Like, control is the better way, because you're like, I want to keep you safe, gosh dang it. So I loved that there was a villain in this who's a true villain. You get to see him become a villain, and that his motivations felt very relatable. You're like,
this
yeah, I can see that.
You know what? I'm going to use the R word here in terms of I need to repent. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
I need to repent. I feel like I'm being chastised. I need to change.
What is
and
happening?
The reason why I was not enjoying this movie is because of my own stubbornness. Really though, I'm not just saying that to be whatever. I like really am thinking about, wow, like with Magnifico, you know what my review of him was?
What?
He seems childish.
Oh, wow.
And I don't get it.
Oh, and yeah.
And they were trying to just be creative and do this villain that was kind of funny and self-centered and silly, but also
narcissistic and
mean, but also not too mean because we don't want to scare the kids.
Yeah.
And so I got into like the psychology of how they're trying to get me.
Yeah.
Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think you did a much better job of reviewing Magnifico than I did.
Because
I could see that as a parent. I am King Magnifico when I'm like,
anybody is that loves a child.
My parents or my kids, like, you will stay safe. No
yeah.
dreams, no hopes,
yeah.
no goals. Because if you try out and do not make the team,
you're
or if
disappointed.
If you go for this little pageant mm-hmm. thing and you're shattered, like, I am a terrible parent
yeah.
and people will judge me because of your performance and because of their unhappiness.
Absolutely.
So I am King Magnifico.
If you love any child in your life, like, you understand this because the root of a child is unpredictable and you're constantly trying to be like, how can we like keep you safe but still like allow you to be a child but like don't be a child because that's unsafe because they're curious and they just they want to explore and
man.
Know. I know. Oh, it's rough. Okay, so I will say this before we go to our award show and wrap up. I think you made some really good points about the plot.
Have I grown? I think I've grown a little bit.
You have.
Thank you.
You're opening up to it, and I am glad I was able to help you get there. But I also want to acknowledge that you also made some good points about the plot.
Thank you.
That there were some things lacking in terms of character development, and things were a little rushed.
Right.
Which maybe kind of lost a lot of viewership. And so I can see where our one critic is coming from, where he's like, it's a parade, and I'm waiting for it to start. Because if you don't get it on board with the main character, then it's going to be a parade with yeah. that never starts.
Well, the traffic in front of you.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So, wow, we have been on a journey, y'all. We're going to go awards and we're going to wrap up. Corbin and I have decided to pre-write down our awards and have each other do our awards. But now that we've discussed the movie, maybe they've changed and that's okay.
Yeah, this one's not. That one's going to have to be discarded. Little negative. Okay. Not negative, but just kind of apathetic.
Okay.
It was I'll read it.
Okay. This
to.
Is the discarded award. Oh, I'll read it.
Okay, go ahead.
So no one can come up to the stage for this
I
one.
I can't read it. I'm so embarrassed. I'm, my face is red as I'm walking up to the microphone.
He mumbles it. He's like.
And I get up there and I stop and I'm like, Cameron, you'll need to read this. People are like, oh, I bet he's getting emotional. No.
No.
I'm embarrassed. I'm horrified that I came up with this award.
Worst award. Oh my gosh. Okay. This so no one's getting up to receive this. We've disregarded it. It's their award. Whoosh. A whoosh. Wish.
This is called the movie's wish.
Wish. Yeah. It's their award, Corbin. Is that it? We don't even need to explain it or we're just moving on.
It exists. That was my initial reaction. It exists.
Very
it's
apathetic.
There. It's not something that
yeah.
Anyways.
Okay, we've moved on from that, everyone.
Okay,
so
right. Yeah, right. My next one.
Oh yeah, Corbin, hand me yours.
Okay, Camry's first award.
My first award. Oh dear.
Cutest Whittle Guy Award.
The cutest Whittle Guy, Corbin. Who
goes
is it?
To Star.
Aww.
Star, please.
Cutest
come on up.
Whittle Guy.
Float on up with your tuxedo
oh,
on. Can you just
so
picture
cute.
The tuxedo?
Yes, the little bow tie.
Do you think he's truly the cutest Whittle Guy?
I was watching him and I was like, I want a stuffed Star. Like, he's just. He doesn't have to say a dang word.
We can't.
But I just want him to float around and just hang out with me all the time. Oh, do you think he's the cutest Whittle Guy? Who's
well,
cuter than Star?
You know how I feel about like ultimate cutest or
yeah
handsomest.
Yeah.
Which apparently Magnifico is the most handsomest. I think he uses that word specifically.
He does. He's like, I'm the most handsome.
So yes, I reserve, you know, me not wanting to jump overboard and say cutest, but yes, very cute. Very cute.
Yeah, he's at least in like he's cuter than Olaf. He's cuter than. Yeah, he's cute. Okay.
Here's my next award. And again,
Corbin has to. This is like our mom with birthday presents. Corbin has to explain his award before he gets it.
Well, because the perception is that I'm being grumpy and I hate everything. And
no.
And then everyone's like, okay, here we go again. But there's a good reason for this. Okay?
We've acknowledged there were problems.
This is
with
a
this
backhanded
movie.
Compliment to someone in the audience.
Oh, okay. Oh my gosh. Okay, this is shocking, folks.
No, well, just go ahead. Let's play it out.
Brace yourselves. Ruined Disney Musicals Award. Lin-Manuel Miranda.
What do you think?
he ruined Disney musicals? Is that what you're
saying?
The
reason why is because of his, what he has produced
it's
for
so
Disney
good.
Musicals is so good
oh.
that it is very difficult to match him, to get to his level.
So you're saying the Moana, because that's the one he's done, right?
Well, like Moana, right?
Yeah.
You've got Mary Poppins. He was involved with that, right?
Yeah, he was involved
Encanto,
with Encanto.
He was involved with that.
So in the last decade, he's kind of set the standard.
He's set the standard in terms of Disney musicals. And this one,
doesn't.
We haven't talked about the music yet.
Yeah.
Very much. Yeah. They were trying to be different.
Yeah.
And I think they got some very talented people to work on it, certainly. Mm-hmm. But it didn't, in my head, and this is a bad thing to think, but why couldn't they have just hired him to do it? And I obviously Disney not going to hire him for every movie.
Yeah, he could just be the new Sherman Brothers.
Right? Mm. So again, it's a more of a compliment to him than it is to like everybody else. Does that make
sense? Here's your backhanded compliment. No, it does. It absolutely does.
Come on up.
You've ruined Disney musicals, everyone.
And I think the people that are that did the music would probably agree to a degree.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I think if I heard correctly, take this with a grain of salt, because I don't know if I heard this correctly in the making of. I think at least the one girl who was doing the lyrics and stuff, this was her first movie she'd done.
She's like the youngest person to ever do this type of
she
project
really
for Disney.
She
looked
really young.
She's 30 years old.
She 30?
She's
she
30.
Looked 25.
Well,
so,
at the time that she started this was like 27,
you
28.
Can tell.
So
you can tell.
Like as far as the music, what they produced?
Some of it's a hit for me and some of it wasn't. It was a mishmash.
Really? There was a hit? You had some hits. Okay.
I did. All right.
Oh, yeah. My next award.
Your next award.
Okay, here we go. George from the Aristocats Award.
Yes. Goes to
Sabino.
Yes.
Asha's grandpa.
This is why. Sabina, let me explain your award. You may not know this, sir, but they referenced George when they were trying to create him. So they went back and the animators were like rewatching the Aristocats animation because they loved kind of the twinkle in his eye old man thing. And his hands, they loved his hands. So I just loved this idea of them referencing old Disney animation to inspire new Disney animation. You reminded them of George, and I like you, so you get the award.
Okay.
Don't listen
yes.
to Corbin.
No,
as
come
you
on
walk
up.
By.
Come on up. Come
Corbin's
on up.
Corbin's rolling his eyes.
No, I just, you know, we need to check his birth certificate here.
Stop.
Is that legitimate though? Does he? That does not bother you at all? The fact
absolutely
of his appearance?
Absolutely not. Because remember, I'm not a detail oriented person. Okay. I just let it wash over.
George, I could guess that he is closer to 100. Because of the way he walks.
I know.
His craggliness. His just totally I don't care attitude about whatever I say is whatever, right? I just did not get that. Okay. All right. Here's my last award.
Okay. Corbin's last award. Do we need to preface? Or
no.
Okay. The Lee Award.
Lee Ward.
No. The Lee Ward. Oh, brace yourselves, everyone. Oh. For Jennifer Lee. Oh. I was wondering if we were going to be able to make it through this without bringing her up. Want to explain, Corbin?
Well, at the beginning of this podcast, I probably would have given her I actually was preparing myself. I was not going to go after her again because I've already done that over and over.
You have, and it's been a little excessive, but that's okay.
Thank you.
Well, not okay, but okay.
Okay, never mind. Take that back. No,
thank
you for you.
All sorts of things are trading hands here.
But after having our discussion, I think I am a little bit more open to the idea that she is just a lot smarter person than I am and on a different level and not just smarter, intelligent wise, like I feel like I'm dumb or whatever. But I think the way she writes her stories is very emotional based.
Mm.
And I don't connect with that very well when I'm processing new information.
Yeah.
For example, Asha in this movie, at the very beginning, she was preparing for her apprenticeship interview.
Mm-hmm.
And she was kind of like doing the, oh, is that like the worst thing to say? And kind of doing like the back and forth and the nervousness. And I was just kind of like, okay, right, got it, yeah, whatever. But I think that's how she writes her movies, is more from like an emotional perspective. That's how she frames her characters. So she's expecting people like you to not look at the details.
Yeah.
But to just kind of go on a journey and just feel the emotion of the entire thing.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to open my heart to Jennifer Lee. So the Lee Award goes to her, acknowledging she worked on this project. And I think
it's
I'm missing
something. It's a
work
something. In progress.
I'm missing something. Obviously, she's very good at what she does.
Yeah.
Because she works at Disney and has produced some and directed and written some pretty amazing films.
Yeah. So. I will say this. I did have the thought while watching this movie. This isn't feeling like Frozen 2, but I'm seeing the fingerprints of Frozen 2. In the essence of Frozen 2, we got to the point where we were like, what are we doing? Like, we both did, where we were like, what are we working towards? And I found more peace with that a little quicker than you did. I still don't know if you found peace about it. But I was feeling that a little bit with this, where there was a vagueness. And I was kind of like, I'm seeing slight fingerprints. But she is not the only writer on this, so it's not solely her thing. But yes, I was
so you agree,
sensing the DNA.
You agree there's a little bit of vagueness in this movie.
Yeah, and I think we discussed that ultimately it comes down to character development.
So logically, that's why I have to check myself with
yeah.
you, because the emotion can connect dots that I struggle connecting.
Yeah.
Because the logic isn't quite there.
And okay. It's hard. Yeah. And I think we've talked about this with you in general. I think I'm finding that you're a very plot driven story person, where you need the plot to the dots to connect very linearly.
Well, that's what it's like. I'm okay if you throw a ton of plots or.
You lots of.
Loose ends.
Yeah.
If you can bring it all back together.
You
and
need
it,
it
makes
to tie
sense.
To tie up. Yeah. And if you're having to make leaps to tie the dots together, then that's not your favorite thing.
Yeah,
there were some. I was making leaps better this time than I was with Frozen 2, but I was seeing that.
Okay,
okay.
All right.
My last award, Corbin.
Okay. All right, here we go. Well, everyone's waiting. Just okay.
He can't get the envelope.
Settle
open.
Down, folks, because we are not granting any wishes tonight. Sorry, we don't have that power.
Oh my gosh.
We just get to give you an award. All right. I think that's the real villain song? Question
yes.
mark.
Yes. Do you want me to explain or do you want to award it first?
Goes to I Will Protect You.
So there are two songs that Magnifico sings. One is his, why don't I get any thanks, or what is it called?
This is the thanks I get.
This is the thanks I get. I think they intended that to kind of be his villain song, where he's like really letting his true colors show.
This is when
like,
he takes a turn for the dark.
Yeah, he's like, what the heck? You see the narcissism come out. He's like, I would do whatever I could for you. Have Henry go help someone. That's how I'm helping, but I want the credit. I think they intended that to be his villain song, but I really liked the one he sang with Asha earlier in the movie, because you see his motivations and you see how aligned they are, where they're both in this place of like, I think the wishes are really important and I will protect them, but their definition of what protect means takes them in very different places. And so I think for that fact, that's probably more of his villain song, where you see like, what are his motivations here and how is he actually working?
I don't like this.
Okay.
Because.
Just so you know, he doesn't like your award, but you can still have it.
Well, I don't like it because I think it's well thought out and it's adding more depth to this story that I didn't discover before. Because there's a moment we all have where we're all kind of neutral.
Mm-hmm.
We have motivations and interests and goals and dreams.
Yeah.
And then there's a pivotal moment where do we decide to do
How
it
extreme.
In a responsible way that helps others?
Yeah.
Or do we do it in a very selfish way that is going to hinder others?
That's
people?
Unhealthy and,
right.
and manipulative.
And I think this song... This song does a really good job of illustrating how you have two people on the same path.
Uh-huh.
And then when they start changing, when they start deviating, how that divide can grow very quickly.
Yeah.
To the point where he's like, I will never grant that wish to your grandpa.
Yeah.
Or your mom.
And he has reasons. He's like, because I'm protecting.
Right. And she's just like, are you kidding me? He's 100 years old. Well, he's 100 years old. Right. So I think that's... Again, I don't. Maybe I'm looking too far into this, but I think that's very well done. If that was the intent,
I don't know if that's the true villain song, but I will say there were some holes here. But for me, as someone who's tried to construct stories personally, I really struggle with trying to match up my villain or my antagonist with my hero in a way where they reflect each other. They're almost like an opposite mirror,
right?
And this was just so well done. And they do it in a song. You have your hero and you have your villain singing a song together where they're agreeing, but you know that ultimately what's going to happen is one's going to be a hero and one's going to be a villain. So it was just amazing to see them in like 2 minutes really clear that up.
Gosh.
But like we've said, there are other problems here, but that song was just like, from a storytelling standpoint, I was like, whoa. There you go, folks. I'm stressing Corbin out.
No, I'm just, I feel like I'm exhausted. I'm exercising my brain and my faculties.
Oh my gosh. All right. That was our award show, everyone. We can't guarantee that it was the best award show you ever heard. It was probably one of our deeper and more intellectual award show, but we all got our stuff, got your awards. Some of them got tossed out.
I think, you know what I wouldn't be surprised with this award show is if we ended it and looked out and there was nobody in the crowd.
They're all like,
obviously these two are here for each other to discuss this. They don't even care. We're just like tossing the awards
like
to the
side.
There's
awkward coughing in the background.
Like,
do they even know
the
we're here?
The janitor sweeping up. They all left. So I'm going to turn off the lights. You guys good? You done?
No, we're not done yet.
I'm still working through some stuff, buddy. So just give me a second. All right. Just leave the lights on.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, guys, that was our kind of baseline work our way through Wish. To kind of wrap us up, Corbin, do you feel like you agree more when it comes to our critics? Do you feel like this is more of we're waiting for the parade and the parade never starts, or that the soundtrack was weak, but it feels like it's a Disney mantra? It fits the Disney
I think
catalog.
I watched the parade
mm-hmm.
and didn't realize it.
Okay.
And then it ended. And now I'm like, wait a second. I need to go back.
They're like, wait, there were floats that just went by.
Cool stuff just went by me, and I was staring at the ground because I was waiting for the parade to start.
So maybe you and Bruce were staring at the ground.
Ugh, gosh.
I will say for me personally, I do feel Rick Bentley's review in the sense of I do feel the Disney fingerprints on this. It's not their best, but it does fit within their catalog.
I'd say it leans more to average than best. It's in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not as bad as I originally.
And there's not a song from this movie that I think is going to... Like, there was some of the music I really liked, but there's not like a...
Right.
We don't talk about Bruno that little kids are just going to latch onto and like want to sing over and over again.
Right. Okay. All right. There you go, you guys. So...
Would you recommend people go watch it if they haven't already? Because the reviews scared them initially.
Yeah, well, because I just finished Harry Potter and my end thing was like, well, I'm glad I read it because now I understand references and I can, you know. So Wish, it's the same way. It's good.
Yeah, there's nothing in there that you need to be frightened of, everyone. There's like nothing in there that's questionable or like Disney's trying to manipulate or brainwash your children. I got a lot of that before I went and watched it where people were like, don't go watch this. The messaging's terrible. Guys, it's fine. There's good, funny, hopeful things, and then there's some plot holes, and it's okay.
You know what would be funny? I'd like to try it, just as an aside. I know we've gone way over time, so you're all so lucky to keep listening to us, but I would love to have like a political campaign as like a trailer
to
a movie, and you know, you try different parties' political campaign thing in
mm-hmm.
front of it. And see if that impacts how people view.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that would just be hilarious.
That we're testing this.
We got to test this. And I hope Disney does this sometime.
Oh,
where it's like
my
this,
gosh,
like,
please
president
no.
from a very, he comes out onto the screen.
I endorse this message.
They're just like, boom, I'm out. I'm out. Like, it is brainwashing.
Yeah.
It is brainwashing us.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Anyways, but, okay.
Guys, go watch the movie. It's worth a watch. It's cute and fun.
All right. There you go. Thanks, guys.
This has been another episode of the Neverland Files. Join us on Substack for additional episodes and fun Neverland Files content. Thanks for listening.